Welcome to the Firefighter Health Wealth Podcast, sponsored by EEC Business International, LLC, doing business as AguaTech Solutions. My name is Elisa Charters. As principal of AguaTech, I've created this podcast platform to help amplify firefighter solutions to prevent cancer. Not only is this a contribution towards corporate social responsibility, I am a survivor of 9/11, and this is my personal way of giving back to dedicated firefighters across our country by collaborating with expert guest speakers and using tech to support the welfare of emergency responders. This is a 100% pro bono effort, and any commercials or infomercials included in these episodes are put forth for additional cancer prevention awareness on grants and training. Ah, one more point. Information relating to this production can be found at aguatech.com, spelled AguaTech.com.
My name is Captain Adam Brenner. I'm a fire captain with the Milburn Fire Department. I work on Platoon 2.
So you just did a training. You just attended
the Sylvester Firefighters Cancer Symposium down in Orlando, Florida area. And it was really great. Did a lot of networking, talked to a lot of people I already knew, taught me a lot about cancer in the fire service. It was very interesting. It was very eye-opening. And the one thing that I found through talking to people not only there, but who were also online, was that all these fire departments have the problem. It's getting the members to understand the dangers of smoke and fire gases. They'll be in an overhaul situation or a fire situation where they're just sucking down the smoke, sucking in the gases, and it's affecting them. And I've talked to people who have had leukemia and other diseases, and they look at these people like, why are you doing this? I have leukemia, I have cancer in my 30s, and I'm fighting it every day, but yet you're in this environment that is saying, hey, I don't have to wear a mask, I'm invincible. Nobody's invincible. We're playing Russian roulette every time we go into a fire situation without a mask. I understand that there are some times that you have to breathe smoke if you're outside and the wind shifts or something. But they're even talking in Arizona now. I believe it was Goodyear Fire Department, and it also might be Phoenix and Mesa, Arizona, where they're going to driver operator who's working the pump on air. So while you're working on the pump and everything, you're going to be on air. And that's something that firefighters have to realize, that coming down the road, there's going to be a lot more rules and laws and guidance from the NFPA and other health organizations. Even though NFPA isn't a health organization, it does regulate a lot what we do in the fire service. One of the things that NFPA is talking about is that we don't gear up in the station anymore. We will gear up at the fire scene so the fire gear can remain outside of the crew cab. It'll be in a separate compartment. That's where we're headed with this, because nobody is really following the guidelines. You know, yes, we wash the gear, but we need to decontaminate the gear once we come out of a fire environment. A lot of people aren't doing that because they say we don't want to get the gear wet. You know, we'll get steam burns if we have to go back in the fire, which is not true, because there's three layers of the protective gear. So only the outer shell is going to get wet, and that's what's going to be washed off. And then you bring it back. And if you have a second set of gear, then you can wash that set of gear. Or if not, then you just let it dry. At least it's somewhat decontaminated.
You gave me the information about this conference, and I was so delighted. They did such a fantastic job. It was so professionally run. And thank you so much, Captain Brenner, for advising me of this conference. The benefit is that we're now doing things virtually, and now we know we can either be in person, which how great was it to be there in person?
Oh, absolutely.
I could still attend virtually, which it's such a benefit. What I noticed, what was so profound to me, were some of the photos that they shared of the before and after pictures, what a firefighter's hands look like. Take off your gloves first, and then take off your helmet and take off your PPE. You're getting your hands dirty. So you're actually being exposed dermally to the same carcinogens.
Right. And that's one of the big things. I learned this at another cancer seminar where I went to. Deputy Chief Frank Lieb, who is the chief of the training academy over at the Rock on Randall's Island for FDNY. One of the things that he taught me was, when firefighters get back from a call, whether they went to a fire or not, you're handling your turnout gear. Now, you need to wash your hands before using the bathroom, before cooking, before doing anything. Right when you get off that apparatus, if you take off your turnout gear or you were in the apparatus, wash your hands, even if it was a medical call, wash your hands. I think most people on a medical call would wash your hands, but you don't think about it coming back from either a gas call or an unattended cooking call. So once you hop off that rig, just wash your hands for like 15, 20 seconds and get all the contaminants off before using the bathroom, before cooking food, before, you know, answering a telephone at the station or something. That way you're just spreading contaminants with your hands.
Well, hopefully that's been a lesson learned with this whole pandemic. Everybody started really washing their hands so much.
Right. And that's, you know, and people will think, oh, well, germs and the flu, and now we have to wash our hands. But I don't think a lot of firefighters really realize it with carcinogens. Carcinogens are, they don't think about it as being on their hands because they can't, if they see their hands covered in soot, that's one thing, but there's a lot of microparticles that can get on the hands that you can't see. Particulate matter, 2.5, and they use that for a lot of air quality studies. Those molecules are the cross-section diameter of a human hair, which is microscopic. We can't see that. So there's all types of things that we're picking up going on calls. Like I said, fire retardants. There's fire retardants in fire stations. They did a study in California, and they found that there was twice as much fire retardant dust than in the average home. They took that study across the nation and they found that there was twice as much fire retardant dust in all fire stations, regardless of the size of the department.
This is a Firefighter Health Wealth Podcast infomercial break, sponsored by Aguatech Solutions to better support your firefighter occupational health and well-being. What more can we do in the future? Like, what more should we all be thinking about? Not just as firefighters, but as citizens to support our fire department, saving our lives. Like, this is, right. We should be caring about saving your lives too. I mean, we talked about so many wonderful ways that firefighters can protect themselves. If we took it one step further, what else could we be doing? Obviously, the NFPA has their different standards and recommendations. There are other organizations, too, that have standards. OSHA has standards. Right. What other ones that should we know about? Resources.
If they want, the NFPA is good. OSHA is good for people to look up. There's a lot of firefighting sites that people can look up to learn about fire safety and the dangers to firefighters. I think personally, if people really want to help, good plug for them is the Leary's Firefighter Foundation. I think that is a place, whether they can donate $5 or more than that, every little bit helps, and it helps fund fire departments all across the country with, like I said, training, fire prevention, safety for the members. And what that's going to do is that's going to help the community and several different ways. It's going to keep the community much safer, and it's going to keep the firefighters much safer. If we go to your house and let's say we got a fire prevention tool, the Leary's Firefighter Foundation, we go and train as many people in the township as we can, we're going to be helped when we go to their house for a fire. They're going to be able to, get out. We'll teach them how to get out. We'll teach them how to get their pets out safely. But with cancer, with Milburn Fire Department, a year and a half ago, as we mentioned before, got from Leary's Firefighter Foundation, we got two new turnout gear washing machines and a dryer. That's going to help because, again, when you look at Google and you see all the firefighters that are dying, it costs a lot of money to put a firefighter out on disability. We don't want a firefighter going on disability, and we definitely don't want a firefighter having cancer because it's just a ripple effect throughout the township and city hall. And that's just, we don't want that. So yeah, the Leary's Firefighter Foundation is definitely the way to go. If people want to help, if they want to find out about firefighting, NFPA is a great source. If they want to help firefighters, I would definitely go with the Leary's Firefighter Foundation.
Regarding the Leary's Firefighter Foundation, you know, what was that process like to go try to get a grant for your department?
Well, it was interesting because I had been an advocate of firefighter cancer for a long time. 2019, there's a program called Safety Stand Down, run by the International Association of Fire Chiefs. And there's always a topic, and in 2019, it was about cancer. And I told the group, I said, I'm hoping that by the end of the year, we will have washers and dryers, not knowing how I was going to do it. So I talked to a friend of mine, Todd, who works for this business, Firefighter One, in New Jersey, that supplies a lot of equipment to fire departments. He goes, why don't you try out Leary's Firefighter Foundation? Because there's a lot of people that know about that. So not many people are putting in grants, and you might have a shot with it. So sure enough, I worked on it with several firefighters and officers here. We put together a grant proposal. We sent it in. We made the first round, and then we had to write more for the second round. Next thing you knew, we had the grant. Brilliant, amazing thing.
And I know there's several other New Jersey fire departments that also received Leary Foundation grants. grants. So thank you, Leary Firefighter Foundation.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so important, all of this information that we're finding out now and that we're sharing. And I know that you've been doing training sessions at various firehouses. So what are some of the key areas that you talk about? And you can break these up into segments.
Okay. For starters, I let them know that there is a cancer crisis in the fire service out there. The thing I tell everybody to do, you go on Google and you type in firefighter dies of cancer. Then on Google, you have selective tabs that you can pick. Go in the news tab. If you go in the news tab, you will see all the firefighters that have died over the last couple of years. People are now aware, the news media is now aware that firefighters are getting occupational cancer. So they're doing more and more news stories on it. There's a great video that I show at the end of my presentation on a Dallas fire captain who his wife recorded him a few days before dying. And he was talking about how in overhaul, you don't wear your mask. And then you're shoveling the stuff, you're pulling down ceilings, you're looking for hidden fire. You're taking in the smoke, you're taking in the toxic gases, and you're getting stuff down. And he died of esophageal cancer, which is just horrible. And he said, look, you have to wear your mask. I bring up Mark Noble. Mark Noble was an Olympia, Washington firefighter. I call him the warning shot because he died in January of 2006, I believe, Olympia, Washington firefighter. He had brain cancer, and he started doing the research why suffering from brain cancer on why firefighters were getting cancer. He talked about diesel exhaust, where you have diesel exhaust in the bays. It's got a 24-hour lingering effect. So while you're eating lunch or, you know, even your civilian staff, they're sucking this down. And it has a lot of benzene, which causes leukemia. And he also talked about the PHAs. He talks about the asbestos. So there's a lot of cancer-causing agents. And like I said, he was the warning shot that did all this. We really have to start taking better care of ourselves and watching out for each other. If somebody's not wearing their mask, tell them to put their mask on, especially if they're in a fire environment. My program is called The Dangers of Smoke and Fire Gases. And one of the things that I also teach them is that you don't have to be in smoke to be affected by these products of combustion. There's invisible gases, like sulfur dioxide, I believe, is an invisible gas. And that's what a firefighter walks out of a smoky environment. You see snot running down their nose and the eyes tearing and everything. Well, that could be a combination of sulfur dioxide and many other chemicals. There's over 200 chemicals in smoke. Don't need to be in smoke. They've had dumpster fires where they had the hydrogen cyanide meter 30 feet away from the dumpster, not in the direct path of smoke, and they were still getting high levels of hydrogen cyanide. Everybody's worried about cancer right now, but you always have to worry about the short-term health effects and the long-term health effects of smoke. The short-term is you have the 1-2 punch of hydrogen cyanide and carbon monoxide. Hydrogen cyanide kills your organs. Carbon monoxide kills your blood. And it's just a 1-2 punch that it can knock you down. It's also, hydrogen cyanide is an escape inhibitor. If you start breathing down the smoke, then you're going to be affected. You're not going to be able to think clearly. There was a firefighter, Brett Tarver, out in Phoenix, Arizona, in March of 2001, who was in a supermarket fire. He ran out of air. He had to take his mask off. Engine 21 found him on the floor, and he started fighting with his rescue crew of Engine 21. All of a sudden, he stood up, and he turned around and ran back towards the fire in the smoke, and they didn't find him until after he was dead. So that's a huge escape inhibitor. You can't think clearly, you don't know what you're doing, and it just clouds your judgment.
So what else could we be doing? What else, if budgets weren't an issue, what else could we be doing? Obviously, having this commercial industrial laundry equipment is great, especially having whatever is the best in class in the marketplace, but separate from that, what other efforts could departments be doing or administrations be considering? So that, and even, communities
right.
to support our fire departments. Obviously, we can make donations to the Leary's Firefighter Foundation, donations directly to our
right.
volunteer and career fire departments. What else could we be doing?
I think what we need to do is have a cultural change. The old way has always been the firefighters breathe in smoke, but no, they don't. You know, firefighters don't have to take a shower. Being all salty and dirty is the way to go, but clean is the new salty. That's a term that FDNY has come up with, and it's a great term. One of the things, as I mentioned before, we call out a rapid intervention crew to come and stand next to the command post, and if a firefighter gets in trouble, they go in there. Like I said, we use mutual aid for that. My thought is, what if we also called another fire department for mutual aid to come and be a decon unit? So they could either use our decon equipment, and if they needed to be deconned, we would go into their city and decon them. It's not a glamorous job. When you go to fires, you're pumped up. You want to go in the fire and everything, but not everybody can be in that position. So if they can help their brother and sister firefighters, they could actually come and be the decon unit, because they're always saying, we don't have enough people. Call in mutual aid for it. Talk to your other fire departments. See if you can get your, we have counties in New Jersey, so we have county coordinators. So Essex County, there's county coordinators that run the mutual aid program. In addition to getting a rapid intervention crew, get a decon team to come in mutual aid.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. And even if it started off as volunteer too, whether it's another department that's right. already existing, or we already have experiences with volunteer fire departments. So right. maybe that's a way to start the program and see how it works for, mm-hmm. for different municipalities.
Yeah,
there's different ways to approach
it. It's just a culture change.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, a great idea. I don't know how we'd do it. Well, you start small and work your way up. You know, try it with a couple of departments, see who's interested, and
absolutely.
Go from there.
Absolutely, do a pilot.
Yep.
That's terrific. Great thinking. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
This was quite an education, and I know that you're out there day in and day out fighting fires and training departments. Thank you so much for your dedication, for your passion to protect our finest, and I just am very grateful for this time to talk with you.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for allowing us to get the word out there about firefighter cancer and other firefighter health issues.
Thank you for listening to this cancer prevention episode with special guest Captain Brenner of the Milburn Fire Department. Saving lives is your valor. Helping to save yours via cancer prevention awareness is a small way that we can give back. Ah, there are more episodes for you to hear in this Firefighter Health Wealth series. Please visit aguatech.com for more information. aguatech.com. You will easily be able to text share the series with your firefighter community by using our podcast QR code. Thank you.